Jesus is the water of life. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 8 and verse 30. John chapter 8 and verse 30. Jesus is teaching at the temple after the Feast of the Tabernacles. During that feast, he declared that if any man thirst, let them come to me. After that feast, he declared that he says in verse 12, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And as he continues to kind of preach to the multitudes, he continues to have to combat with and contend with the Pharisees and scribes, the Jewish leaders there. And these things are continuing. But as Jesus is preaching, as a matter of fact, if you'll just back up to verse 28, as he's preaching, Jesus says, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. Now, I want you to get this. And you, when you see a word italicized in your King James Bible, it's a good thing because it helps us to understand. When you translate a language, and that's what we have in the King James Bible, is a translation. In the New Testament, it's primarily Greek, part of it's Aramaic, but primarily Greek, translated into English. And the translators have to supply words for us sometimes to help us get an understanding. But sometimes, it's good to notice those things to see what it would say without it. Because I want you to see this. Jesus said, then shall ye know that I am. You see the difference? You see, when Jesus says, I am he, what he's really saying is, I am. And he's declaring himself to be the self-sufficient God, Jehovah, the creator of all things. And so he says, ye shall know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And in verse 30, the Bible says, and he, as he spake these words, many believed on him. And that's where we stopped last week. And I'd like to ask you to stand with me now. And we're going to read verses 31 and 32 together tonight. And I just want you to get this. And as we go through this tonight, I hope you'll be encouraged to study God's word on your own. I never want to ask you to take my word for it. I want you to search the scriptures to see whether those things are so. And study for yourself. But I want to tell you tonight, not everyone who believes in Jesus is saved and going to heaven. Now that may sound crazy to you. It may sound completely opposite of everything you've ever thought, taught, believed, or heard your entire life. But I want to tell you tonight that the devils believe and tremble. The devils do not have a place in the kingdom of God. They believe. They do not have a place in the kingdom of God, but they believe. But they believe. So it's not just belief. It's not just a simple mental assent to the fact of Jesus. There's more to it. And if you've been here for 5 minutes, you know that we are not saved by works. I'm not saying that you've got to do something to earn salvation. But it's more than just a head knowledge of Christ, a belief. It's trusting him with all our heart. And so look at verses 31 and 32. As a matter of fact, verses 31 and 32, if we get those both on the screen, we'll read them together out loud. Everybody read together. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please help me to preach it by the power of your Spirit. Please help us to see truth tonight, to know truth, and may that truth make us free. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your love. And please help us tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight, Tonight, we're just going to tackle a couple of verses. I hope that you'll study on your own. And over the next several weeks, we're going to cover the rest of chapter 8, Lord willing. But I want you to get this, because as he goes on speaking to those Jews which believed on him, I cannot find any reason in the text to think that he ever stops talking to those Jews that believe on him. You're going to find the Lord contending with them and working back and forth with them. And at one point, Jesus is going to tell them that they are of their father, the devil. That they aren't children of Abraham because they don't believe like Abraham. And they're not children of the Father because they don't trust Jesus and they don't believe his word. And so there's all of these things that Jesus says that don't seem to fit somebody who believes. So a lot of Bible scholars and commentators who no doubt are much more intelligent than me, they say that when Jesus gets down to verse 39, and he says, they answered and said unto him, and he begins to contend with them, that all of a sudden Jesus is no longer talking to the ones that he said before, the scripture says before he's talking to. And friends, maybe really, really smart people know something I don't know, but I'm just telling you in the text, there's nothing there to indicate that he ever stops talking to who it said he was talking to. Okay? And when you study your Bible, it's important to understand those things. How many of you have taken English classes in school before? How many of you did not love them? Everybody look at Heather and say sorry. I want to tell you that I actually kind of liked English. It didn't bother me. I really liked reading classes because a lot of times our teacher just read to us stories and that was awesome. I'm so thankful I went to Vianne High School. Just read stories to you. Praise the Lord. I was hoping Holly would amen that. Yes, she knows. We know. But here's the reality. English is really important because we're studying an English Bible. And you need to know who's speaking and who they're speaking to and what they're speaking about. And there are things that are really important, pronouns and their antecedents and to refer back to who it's speaking about. And all those things are really important when you study your Bible, because if you don't know those things, then you can get really messed up about who's talking and who they're talking to. And those things happen to be really important. And so over the next few weeks, we want to dig into those things. But I just want to tell you tonight, just taking these verses, it ought to give you a clue. Because as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And it would seem to me that Jesus, knowing their heart, saw something in them that he had to give something, some deeper instruction, some further instruction to them, because he knew that they believed, but he knew that they need to continue in his word if they wanted to be real disciples. You see the word indeed, it means in truth, in actuality, in fact. In other words, not only, here's another one for you, not everybody that believes in Jesus is truly saved. That's hard. What kind of preaching is going on down there at Calvary? Let me give you another one. Not everybody that's a disciple is a real disciple. Not everybody that says they're following Jesus is really following Jesus. Not everybody that's a member of the church is really saved. Not everybody that shows up on Sunday night is really following Christ every day of their life, friends. He's wanting us to get real. And you say, I believe. Praise God. James says, it's good. You believe in God? Well, that's good. That's great. Fantastic. The devils believe and tremble. You say you have faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. Real faith always works. By the way, a lot of people get to James. They get all mixed up and they just have a hard time with it. But understand something. James says that faith without works is dead. He doesn't say faith is dead. He says faith without works. There's a certain kind of faith that's dead. and a faith in Christ that doesn't result in a life for Christ, there's something wrong with that faith. Faith in Christ that doesn't result in a life for Christ, there's something wrong with that faith. And Jesus was able to look into the hearts of those that believed on him while he was preaching and say, you need to get something. If, there's a conditional statement, if and then, that's a conditional statement, if you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed. The condition of true discipleship is a continuation in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. John says in 1 John, herein is love, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And so if you're truly born again, you're going to love Jesus. Somebody say amen. If you've been saved, you were on your way to a devil's hell and you deserved it and you knew it, but you cried out to God and you trusted in Jesus and he saved you, you ought to love Jesus. And if you love him, you ought to want to live for him. And it shouldn't be such a big deal for him to say, go here and go there, or don't go there and do this and don't do that. It shouldn't be a big deal. Because he's your Savior and he's your King. And we want to live for him. It's conditional. Which means, friends, that if you don't meet the condition, that you then you don't get the results of that. You don't get the reward of that. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a real disciple. I don't like hypocrites. I don't like fake people. I get some amens on that one. Let me do it. I don't like fake people. Amen. Have you ever... Let me check, see how bad I'm going to get myself in trouble real quick. Because I really care. Have you ever dealt with a salesman that was just fake? Listen, I've done sales a lot of my life. I sold cabinets for my dad, and I've sold a lot of different things. I worked in retail for a little while, and listen, I'm not saying all salesmen are bad. We've got some car salesmen in our church, and you know, you never want to talk bad about those used car dealers. I told you I was going to get myself in trouble. Hey, the stereotypes don't always fit. Amen. Thank you. Somebody say amen for him. Sometimes there's salesmen who believe in their product. They know who it's going to help and who it's not going to help, and they try to sell their product to people who can actually use it, and they don't try to pull one over on somebody. It's not going to do them any good. This isn't for you. Go on to the next person that it can help. There are other people who it doesn't matter. They're going to try to sell whatever they got to anybody that comes along. And it's so fake. Because they don't care about you, and they really don't believe in their product. They're just trying to make a dollar. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that fakeness. Some of you have had friends that you like to call two-faced. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're preaching now. And we don't like that. We don't like fake people. We don't like hypocrites. We don't like those types of things. And I'm telling you, friends, I don't want to be one of them. I don't want to be one in my personal life. I don't want to be one in my business life. I don't want to be one in any part of my life. And my life is hid in Christ. My life is Christ. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. I want to be a real disciple. The word continue here in verse 31 is the same word. If you'll study all throughout the book of John and really all through the New Testament, this is a very common word. But in particular, you can really get an understanding of this word continue in John chapter 15, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, ye are the branches. If any man abide in me, That word abide is the same word for continue. It's really important for us to get that, because when I think of continue, I think of movement, don't you? You're going to continue on the right path, continue on the straight and narrow. We think of continue as a moving forward, but really the word means to stay. To continue in the Word of God means to abide in the Word of God. It means to stay there, to dwell there, to live there. We've talked about this before in certain parts of the country. When you want to know where somebody lives, that's what you say. You say, where do you live? If you're from Vianne, you say, where you stay at? People know what that means in Vianne. Not so much here in Muldrow. Sometimes I forget where I'm at and I'll ask somebody, where you stay at? And they're like, where do you live? But that, I think that's good, because that's where I stay. That's where I live. That's where life happens. It's where I dwell. It's where everything in my life centers around, is that place. It's where I live. And we could say, I'm an American. You could say, I'm an Oklahoman. You could proudly say, I live in Muldrow, Oklahoma. Or you could very quietly say, I'm from Muldrow. I live. I want to live in Christ. And the way I do that is by living, staying, dwelling in His Word. If you continue in my Word. Well, what is His Word? You know, we've got it easy, friends. I don't know if you have any idea how blessed you are to have this book. The people Jesus was talking to, the vast majority of the crowd couldn't read. Most of the people couldn't read. That's one of the reasons they were so amazed by Peter and John and their preaching, because they were ignorant and unlearned men. What did that mean? It meant that they didn't know how to read. They didn't know how to write. They assumed that about Jesus because he was just a carpenter. But he was talking to people who didn't have a Bible. But he was saying, you need to listen and learn what I'm telling you. You need to understand my commandments, and you need to stay in them, keep them, live in them, and let it be your life. For us today, we are incredibly blessed. I mean, just how many of you have a Bible, own a Bible? If you're not raising your hand, you let me know. We'll get you a Bible. How many of you own multiple Bibles? I got a Bible everywhere I go. I keep a Bible in my truck. I got, I don't know, a dozen Bibles in my office in there, not to mention the stacks of them we have to give away to anybody that needs a Bible. On my phone, man, let's see, I've got four Bibles on my phone, four Bible apps. I've got one Bible app that has a really good search feature, and I use it just for the search feature. I got another Bible app that has the Strong's Concordance built right in, so I can look up the Greek words and I can know what they mean. And I mean, I'm just telling you, I got another one. This is how hard my life is. I've got another one I like to use just for reading, because it doesn't have a lot of clutter on it. It's just the words. Isn't that special? First world problems. Right? Friends, we are so blessed. Those people that Jesus was talking to, if they were going to continue in His Word, they better pay attention. They better have ears to hear. They better listen. They better remember. They better get it in their heart. Because when Jesus leaves, they may not get it. But what do we have? Man, I talk to people all the time. Ask them, you know, those gospel questions. If you died today and God asked you at the judgment, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say? And I'll talk to somebody and they'll say that they're saved, they're born again. So I like to ask them, have you been studying your Bible? And when's the last time you read your Bible? Sunday? Like when you were at church and the preacher read it? Yeah. There was a guy I talked to just the other day, and I said, how often do you read your Bible? Because he claimed to be saved. He said, about every Sunday. I said, let me ask you a question. If you went to the doctor, and the doctor said to you, how's your appetite? How are you eating? And you said, not very good. I eat about once a week. I said, that doctor would be concerned about your physical health, because if you're just eating once a week, that's not good. You're going to wither away. If you don't have any kind of appetite where you only eat one meal every week, man, something's wrong. And that doctor is going to order a battery of tests to figure out what's wrong with you. Man, something's got to be wrong with your esophagus or your stomach or your intestines. Something's got to be wrong if you only eat once a week. Amen. Something's wrong if you only eat three times a day. Unless it's a time of fasting. So I said, physically, if you only ate once a week, doctor would be worried, be concerned. He said, I said, spiritually, I'm concerned about you. Listen, you say you're a Christian. You say you were on your way to hell, but you cried out to Jesus. He saved you, gave you eternal life, and you're telling me you have no appetite for his word. There's something wrong. Something wrong. Well, I'm just really, really busy. And friends, I'm going to tell you, we get busy, but most of us, sooner or later, are going to find time to eat. Some of you guys, I know you work, and it happens to me too. You get busy, and sometimes I like to call some of you fellas and ask if you want to grab some lunch at 2:30 or 3 in the afternoon. You're like, lunchtime was 3 hours ago. Well, sometimes you just get it when you get it, right? You get busy and things happen, but sooner or later, my stomach's going to let me know it's time to eat. You know, sooner or later, spiritually, something inside of you ought to say, it's time to eat. It's time to get in the Word. Friends, we're without excuse. We have more opportunity to continue in the Word right here in the United States of America today than anybody in the history of the world. Kids have some CDs we were listening to the other day. They're called the Brinkman Adventures, and they're about missionary families around the world and different stories. And one of them we were listening to is about a man named Tomas who was smuggling Bibles into a country where Bibles are illegal. The first time he went across, he carried five suitcases with 300 Bibles. And if he had got caught, they would have put him in prison probably for the rest of his life. But God has been gracious, and God has just miraculously worked in that situation to where he got through with those Bibles, and he's taken teams through for years and years now, and they have brought tens of thousands of Bibles into that country. Amen. And he risks his freedom to do that. In other places in the world today, you know, in China, they're burning Bibles right now. Did you know that? Did you know they're burning Bibles? And right now in China, the Bibles they're not burning are the ones that they're rewriting to fit in line with China's communist agenda. Did you know that's going on in China right now today? That Christians in China have to sneak and hide, and they can't openly read a Bible. They can't openly give a Bible away. They can't openly profess to be a real Christian. Friends, we are so blessed, and we are without excuse to continue in the Word. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Man, I'm so thankful I know the truth. I don't know if any of you have talked to any college students lately, but those kids are messed up. Somebody say amen. I can always tell when I talk to a college student if they've had a philosophy class or not, because the ones who have had philosophy and have bought into it are really, really dumb. I mean that with as much respect as I can muster for anybody who buys into philosophy. I talk to those people, and you want to talk to them about truth, but they don't know what truth is. For them, there is no truth. Well, that's your truth, and I have my truth. And everybody in the world has their own truth, and there is no absolute truth. Friends, that's idiotic. gravity's true for everybody. Doesn't matter what you believe. You might as well say, my truth and my truth, there is no gravity. Go jump off of a 5-story building. See how that works. You say, well, that's just crazy. That's not fair. But really, it is about that crazy. Is lying wrong? Well, it depends. Is murder and rape wrong? Well, I think that it's wrong. But you can't get them to say that it's absolutely wrong to murder. Friends, that's not right. They have no concept of truth. Why? Because they don't believe in Christ and they don't believe His Word. But when you believe His Word, friend, you find the truth. You know the truth. And it's not a truth, and it's not your truth, and someone else's truth. It is the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Free from guilt. Free from shame. Free from death. Free from hell and the grave. Free to love Him. Free to serve Him. Free to give your life for Him. Free to continue in His Word. And it continues to move you forward in your walk with Christ when you stay in His Word. So how do we do it? If we took a survey tonight, took a poll, how many people in the room read their Bible every day without fail? You don't have to put your hand up. I'm just asking, if we did a poll tonight, I wonder how many could say, I read my Bible every day without fail. But the truth is, some of us wouldn't be able to say that. We'd have to keep our hand down and we would feel ashamed because I don't do that. And I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm just trying to say, if I took the same poll and said, how many of you eat food every day? Almost everybody would have to put their hand up. So what do? We esteem His Word more than our necessary food. We love His Word more than we love breakfast. That's why I love the mantra, no Bible, no breakfast. Friends, it's good to live by, because I don't know about you, but I wake up hungry every day. Am I the only one? I don't know if breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but it's the most important one when I wake up. I don't even like breakfast that much, but man, I wake up hungry every day. But I've got that in my heart that I don't want to put food in my mouth until I put God's Word in my heart. But we don't just check it off our list and go on, friends. We ought to love His Word, abide in His Word. We've got to read it, but we can't just read it. We've got to study it with diligence. We've got to continue in it. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's good. But if you want to be a real disciple, continue in His Word. Let's get ready for an invitation tonight. Just stand with me, please. I ask you before we started these services that we wouldn't just go through the motions tonight. That we wouldn't just have another regular Sunday night service where I get up, say the same things, preach the message, we say amen and go on our way. Friends, we need to be real. None of us like hypocrites. None of us like two-faced. None of us want to be fake. We don't like people who are fake, and we don't want to be people who are fake. But here's the difference. It's not whether you're sincere. It's whether you're continuing in His Word. Jesus didn't say, if you're sincere, you'll be a real disciple. That's not what He said. He said, if you continue in My Word, friends, what are you living in? What is your life centered in? Where are you staying at with your life? Is it in your favorite TV show? Is it in your social media? Is it in your hobbies? Is it in your work? Or is it in Christ and in His Word? I just pray tonight, right now, that if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, friend, respond. If you're not in His Word, confess, repent. If you need help, tell Him, Lord, I don't love Your Word like I should. I'm not passionate about Your Word like I should be. Lord, I'm not diligent in Your Word like I should be. Be real with God. He knows. He knows. So if He's convicting your heart, or tonight you just are disturbed by the fact that you're not disturbed, that you don't have a passion for His Word, and that really doesn't bother you, friend, I'm begging you, come to the Lord tonight in humility and ask Him to change your heart while we sing. Thanks, Father.